And now we turn to Pilgrimage, the story of a group of monks in 13th century Ireland who attempt to take a holy relic across country on its way to Rome. Directed by Brendan Muldowney and starring Richard Armitage, Tom Holland, John Bernthal, John Lynch, Hugh O'Connor and Rory Conroy, it is a dark, gritty and handsomely staged adventure story that examines the point and value of religion in a hostile environment. Pilgrimage will have its world premiere at the Galway Film Fla next week, and I spoke to Richard Armitage, the star of Peter Jackson's three Hobbit movies and TV spooks, about it yesterday. Richard, in Pilgrimage you play this 13th century Norman nobleman who's intent on foiling a group of monks who are escorting a sacred relic from Ireland to Rome. What attracted you to it?
You know, I was really interested in the idea of occupation and, a warring family kind of coming out of Norman France and sort of finding themselves in Ireland and trying to somehow integrate themselves. But at the same time, the family is dying out and this young prince is attempting to better himself by kind of thwarting the plan. And it's a very kind of selfish personal journey for this man. But it really spoke to me about what happens in a society when kind of religion sort of dominates the paternal kind of thrust and the void that's left. These people are sort of used to the taste of war. It's kind of an addiction. I felt that was something interesting to me.
Yeah, I've seen in several interviews where you talk about finding the kind of duality in a character. How did you find it in this guy? What was it in this guy?
If you notice in the movie, there's really a complete absence of women. And I really felt like, particularly with Raymond, the lack of a mother, and it was something that I definitely sort of asked questions myself, you know, about where is the mother? It's an incredibly paternal society, and his father is in decline. He has lost respect for his father. So I feel like there was the personal ambition and the pain of, that kind of evolution in himself was balanced against quite a dark heart and somebody that was habitually sort of raised in the theater of war, and that's really all he knows. So to me, that was kind of a sort of tragedy for a man.
Now, you talk about an absence of women. There's no absence of women in Ocean's 8, which is this, I suppose, female led version of.
It's the exact opposite.
Yes.
I finished that at the end of January, February time, yeah.
And you have Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Sarah Paulson, Helena Bonham Carter.
And I get to work with all of them.
Oh, do you? Most of the women in it seem to be sympathetic characters. Are you the sort of male villain in this world?
It was a fun character to play, and I based him on a couple of people that are around in the art world at the moment. I would say he's more of a louche bullshit artist, if you pardon the expression, rather than a kind of malicious villain. He's just a bit of an idiot. It was fascinating to sort of play opposite that incredible cast, and I had some great scenes with Sandy Bullock and Anne Hathaway as well. So it was a great experience.
You've also been working on Julie Delpy's film My Zoe. Now, can you talk a little bit about that? Is it one of her kind of toxic marriage dramas? And she seems to be very good at that.
It's interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know she's good at the toxic marriage drama, but we sort of were due to start filming in September, October time. But yeah, I've been kind of meeting up with Julie over the past year, and it's a script that she's penned herself. She's producing it herself. She's also directing it. And the thing that I find fascinating about it is that the story begins in that box of the toxic marriage, and then it just departs into a completely different place, which I won't talk about right now because it may spoil the film. But it's interesting to work on something which takes you by surprise, and that was what attracted me to that, for that particular part as well. She has this ability to write a character in a way which throws up expectation and then flips it on its head. So I'm really looking forward to working on that.
You made a kind of striking appearance in the Hannibal series on TV. You played this serial killer, Francis Delahide, yeah, and he's a serial killer. He's the tooth fairy, they call him. You go for about six episodes, but that must have been fun, was it? It must have been interesting.
You know, I think it was probably one of the most challenging roles I've had in recent years, because I've always been very concerned about putting horror on film. But I read the book, that it was the original of the Hannibal stories, and again it was fascinating that Harris created the idea of a serial killer, and he really went into the psychological depth of how that man was created from a child, and so to me that was fascinating. It was really just seeing how does an innocent little boy become this grotesque monster. And but it was tricky, I have to say. It was hard to play.
Yeah, that's Thomas Harris who wrote the books.
Thomas Harris, yeah.
Yeah, you seem to be working, sort of moving very smoothly between stage, screen, big screen, small screen, even voiceovers. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, I'm always setting myself up for old age when the face isn't required on screen anymore, and I've only got my voice left. So, but yeah, I had a great experience last year on off Broadway in a comedy, a political comedy, which was a real departure for me. I don't often get to play comedy, and it was a play called Love, 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 written by Mike Bartlett, which was such a great experience and a really amazing cast. I'm going to be returning to this theatre again.
And you had an enormous experience. I think that's the only way you could describe it, as John Proctor in Arthur Miller's The Crucible at the Old Vic.
That's correct, yeah. I mean, that really gave me my taste for getting back on stage. I think I hadn't been on stage for 10 years when I tackled The Crucible, but it's a play that I'd loved. I mean, it's so relevant to where we're at the moment politically. It's a shame we put it on stage 2 years ago. I mean, it would be nice to resurrect the play, but it's a great role, and you know we got very lucky. We had 9 5-star reviews, and you can't ask for more than that.
I think you said you're a method actor, but that's kind of slightly lazy, because you don't have to pretend; you just have to believe.
I don't really know. I mean, the one thing I do know is that I don't like kind of stepping in and out of character, and I don't like people seeing that it is a pretense. So I do tend to stay in the moment and with the character for the majority of the shoot. I just prefer it. It means concentrating all the time, at the expense of a laugh and a joke and a bit of social time offset. But I just prefer it. If I believe myself in the role, then everybody else does too. So, and I enjoy that. I enjoy the discipline of staying with the character.
As a method actor, is there one sort of crazy thing you've done for your art?
I seem to remember, because I have a fear of water, and I seem to remember way back when I was doing Cold Feet for ITV. I ended up taking an aqua aerobics class because I was supposed to be playing a swimming teacher, but I couldn't face the thought of doing some swimming lessons. So I was in a swimming pool taking an aqua aerobics class with a bunch of ladies.
I see. So
that wasn't the most thrilling thing I've ever done, but I recall it with humor.